from Hollywood, California, we bring you a new Dr. Christian story called We Hold These Truths, starring Gene Herschel, and presented for your pleasure by the Cheeseboro Manufacturing Company, owners of the trademark Vaseline, and producers of Vaseline Petroleum Jelly, Vaseline Hair Tonic, and other Vaseline specialties. You know, no matter how long a fella's been in radio, he always gets a kick out of fan mail. Now, here's an interesting letter I just received from Mrs. Albert Johnson of Iola, Kansas. Mrs. Johnson writes,
Dear Mr. Gilmore, I was listening to you talk on the Dr. Christian program the other night about Vaseline jelly and how this fine medicinal product is doing double duty today by helping us conserve many things in our homes that are made of metal. I thought you would like to know that it is especially good for protecting electrical appliances. My husband is an electrician and does a lot of repair work, and I've often heard him tell his customers that it's a good idea to put a thin coating of Vaseline jelly on the chrome finish of electric irons, toasters, waffle irons, and other appliances not in constant use. It's a wonderful protection for the finish and helps keep rust from forming. He also recommends putting Vaseline jelly on the contact or terminal posts of appliances. This makes the plug slip on easily, prevents it from sticking, and thus avoids the hard pull often given the cord. His customers tell him they're surprised at the difference it makes in the life of the electric plug and cord.
Well, thanks a lot, Mrs. Johnson. Folks, there's a great idea for you. Protect your household appliances with Vaseline jelly. Because it is air-resistant and water-resistant, Vaseline jelly can help you tremendously in your home conservation program. Get Vaseline jelly tonight. It costs only 10 cents a generous jar. Our play tonight is the work of John Lieg Oberg, young California writer who won the $2,000 Dr. Christian Award for 1942. The play is called We Hold These Truths. The principal characters in the play, in addition to Dr. Christian, played by Gene Herschel, and Judy Price, the doctor's secretary, played by Loreen Tuttle, are four soldiers. Sergeant Baker, played by Herman Waldman, Corporal Winnisaki, played by Patrick McGeehan, Private Streeter, played by Ed Penny, and Private Swenson, played by Irvin Lee. Other characters are Mayor John Hewitt, played by Gerald Moore, Mrs. Lavilla Cartwright, played by Jacqueline DeWitt, and Abner Pendleton, played by Joe Latham. And so the curtain rises. The scene is Dr. Christian's private office. The soft rays of the morning sun sift through the long windows of the old house and gather about Dr. Christian, who is seated at his desk going over his mail. The door opens and Judy Price, his secretary, enters from the reception room.
Well, Dr. Christian, the big three are outside.
The big three, Judy?
Yes, sir. Our three most distinguished citizens request an audience with the famous Dr. Christian. Mrs. Lavilla Cartwright, Mr. Abner Pendleton, and Mayor John Hewitt.
Well, I must have done something I shouldn't.
Will you see them now, Dr. Christian?
Oh, I might as well. Show them in, Judy.
Will you come in, please?
Thank you, Judy.
Good morning, Lavilla.
Good morning, Dr. Christian.
Morning, Abner.
Good morning, Doctor.
How are you, John?
Fine, thank you, Paul.
Well, won't you sit down?
Thank you very much. I suppose you're wondering why we're here, Paul.
Well, I'll admit I'm a bit curious. I don't have three such important visitors often.
You explain it to him, John. After all, you're the mayor as well as chairman of the committee.
Well, as you probably know, we're holding a big rally next Friday night to wind up our war bond sales week.
Oh, yes, I read about it. It's to be held in the high school auditorium, isn't it?
That's right.
And the radio station is going to broadcast it for the benefit of those who can't attend.
Besides that, I've arranged to have operators at the phones at my store to take any pledges that are called in.
Mm-hmm. And the Girls' B Club of the high school will pass pledge cards at the rally.
Well, you seem to have taken care of all the arrangements very well.
Yes, Paul, we think we have. But it's regarding the entertainment side of the program that we've come to you.
Oh, well, just what is it you want me to do?
You see, we need some celebrities to come to our meeting to help put the bond drive over the top.
Movie stars, preferably.
Well, do you really think that the people of this town need such an incentive before they'll buy war bonds?
The citizens of our town are just as patriotic as anybody. But you have to pull those stunts to get the crowds out. And we've got a quota to meet.
And we not only want to meet it, we want to exceed it.
We want to get 100% enrollment in the 10% payroll savings plan.
The main element is time. We've only got a week.
And just which stars would you expect me to produce?
Oh, we'd leave that entirely up to you.
You'll do this for us, won't you, Paul?
Well, I don't know whether I know any...
Oh, of course you do. We haven't forgotten that time you got Tyrone Power for the Red Cross benefit.
No.
We're counting on you.
There is one way.
I knew you'd do it.
Very well. I'm not promising a thing. I'll do what I can, but I won't guarantee anything.
Well, that's good enough for us.
Will you leave the choice of star entirely up to me?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
All right. All right. I'll see what I can do. But don't worry if you don't hear from me until Friday.
Oh, that's all right. We know we can rely on you.
No, I know you're a busy man, so we'll just go along. And thanks a million.
Well, don't mention it.
We're tremendously indebted to you.
Of course, I'm glad to do my part in such a cause. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye,
goodbye,
Dr. Christian.
Well, Dr. Christian, you don't look any different. No crown on your head or medal pinned to your coat.
No, Judy, but I feel different. The committee of three, which just left, has given me an opportunity to do something I wanted to do for quite some time. Will you help me, Judy?
Well, of course I will. What do you want me to do?
Well, first of all, see if you can get Colonel Drake at the Camp 01 Burketown on the phone for me.
Hello, Dr. Christian's office. Oh, yes, Mayor Hewitt. No, I'm sorry. Dr. Christian isn't in just now. He's out on a case. No, he hasn't said anything to me about it. Yes, I'll tell him you called, Mayor Hewitt. Yes. Goodbye. Hello, Dr. Christian's office. No, Mr. Pendleton, the doctor isn't in. He's operating this morning at the hospital. No, I don't know, Mr. Pendleton. I haven't the slightest idea who the doctor's star is to be. Yes, I'll tell him when he comes in. Goodbye, Mr. Pendleton. Oh, dear. Hello, Dr. Christian's office. Oh, yes, Mrs. Cartwright. No, the doctor isn't in. Yes, I realize the rally is tomorrow night. Well, Dr. Christian never failed this town yet. Try not to worry too much. Goodbye, Mrs. Cartwright. Hello, Dr. Christian's office. Oh, it's you, Dr. Christian. Have they been calling? About every half hour. Yes, yes, I was just getting ready to leave. You'll be a little late? Oh, I see. Of course I'll do it. In fact, I was planning on going over to the auditorium anyway. Oh, fine. I'll meet you backstage. Yes, I'll tell them. Oh, say, Dr. Christian, you wouldn't tell me the names of your celebrities, which I'm just as curious as the committee. Oh, all right. I guess I'll just have to wait until tonight. Goodbye, Dr. Christian.
Haven't you even an idea where he might be?
I'm sorry, Mr. Pendleton, but all I can tell you is what he told me this afternoon. He'll be a little bit late, but he will be here.
Abner!
Huh?
What are we going to do, Abner? The crowd is getting restless.
Well, can't the Glee Club sing again?
They've already sung all the numbers they know.
Well, then I guess you'll have to give another speech.
Another speech? Listen to me. I've plugged the 10% payroll savings plan till I'm so hoarse I can't speak.
Mrs. Cartwright said she'd be willing to go on and give a dramatic reading.
Judy, have you ever heard one of Luvilla Cartwright's dramatic readings?
I'm afraid I have.
Still, Abner, we may have to let her do it to fill in.
Well, this time she wants to read Invictus.
Invictus? No. No, not that. I couldn't take that.
We can't have the organist play another chorus. It's beginning to sound like the Republican National Convention.
Oh, my. I guess it'll have to be Ludvilla Cartwright.
Wait, there's a car stopping outside.
He's here. Go on out there, John, and introduce
all
him.
Right.
Oh, Dr. Christian, at last. Even I was beginning to worry.
I'm not too late, am I? Well, you're just in that well-known nick of time. You saved us from a fate worse than death.
Well, how do you mean?
We were just about to let LaVilla Cartwright read Invictus.
Oh, I see.
Oh, come on, Dr. Christian. The mayor's already out on the stage introducing
him. Like you, I don't know the identity of the stars the doctor's bringing. I'm sure their appearance will be a pleasant surprise to all of us. Here he is now, our own Dr. Christian.
Thank you, Mayor Hewitt. Friends and neighbors of Riverside, when the committee came to me and asked me to try and secure the appearance of a celebrity for this war bond rally, I confess to having had some reservations. It seemed to me that you and I, the citizens of this town, or the citizens of any other town, large or small, do not need to be primed with a visit of some glamorous personality to make us invest in war bonds. Oh, I feel sure that all of us consider it not only a duty, but a sound, practical way of saving money. Then I thought, who are the big stars of today? And I decided it would be a thrill for all of us to meet some of them face to face. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I have the pleasure and the honor to present to you four of the most important men in our country today. Ladies and gentlemen, allow me to present Sergeant Claude Baker. Welcome to Riverside, Sergeant Baker.
Thank you, Dr. Christian.
How old are you and where's your home, Sergeant?
I'm 30 years of age and my home is in Boston.
Are you married?
Yes, sir. And I have a boy, 6 years old.
Tell us something about yourself, Sergeant Baker.
Well, there's not too much to say about me. I imagine I'm what you'd call a typical young Bostonian. You know the type, Doctor. Groton and Harvard and all the rest. After that, I got married and went to the Hawaiian Islands on my honeymoon. And then I followed the rest of my family into the banking business.
Were you drafted or did you enlist?
I enlisted.
Why?
Why? Well, that's a difficult question to answer, Dr. Christian. I imagine there are many little reasons held within one major reason. You know, the principles of liberty, the Constitution, and all that. And also, perhaps it was that I couldn't stand on the platform and simply watch while the train for the new world to come left the station.
And your plans for the future? What of them, Sergeant?
Well, Dr. Christian, back in Boston, there's a wife and a 6-year-old child waiting for me. Can you think of a better future than that?
Thank you, Sergeant Claude Baker. Now I'd like to present our second star of the evening, Corporal Stanley Winisucky. Did I pronounce that name right, Corporal?
Yes, sir.
Winisucky. That's Polish, isn't it?
Yes, sir. My father's a Polish immigrant. He has a farm up in northern Illinois.
You were born in Poland, weren't you?
Yes, sir, 25 years ago. We came over when I was 3.
I believe you enlisted, too.
Yes, sir, I did.
Why?
Most of our family is still in Poland. Or was.
I see. And what are your plans for the future?
Dr. Christian, my father can neither read nor write. I was studying to be a teacher. I'd like to be able to help teach and educate. We know the value of education, those of us who were never able to have it in the old country.
And yet you gave up your studies to enlist?
If we do not win, sir, then what use will we have for our teachers?
Thank you, Corporal Stanley Winisucky. Now our third guest star, Private Luke Streeter.
They're private first class, Doc.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Well, that's all right, Doc. Shucks, we all make mistakes.
Am I right in saying that you're from the South?
You ain't fooling. Mississippi.
Well, what did you do down there?
Oh, me and my ma, we sharecropped a piece of cotton land. Right good land, too.
And how did you get into the Army?
Well, I'll tell you, Doc. It's like this. I was out plowing the north section one day when old man Scroggins, he's the RFD man out our way, he comes chugging up the road in his flivver and stops. Luke, he says, I got a letter for you. It's from the draft board. Well, that's about all there is to it, Doc. The next thing I know, I'm wearing this here uniform.
How did you feel about going?
Oh, shucks, Doc. It's a scrap, ain't it?
And your mother?
Oh, Mom, why? She says to me, Luke, you go over yonder and tend to the fighting, and I'll stay here and tend to the plowing.
And when it's all over, Luke, what then?
Well, I'll tell you, Doc. There's a piece of bottom land down my way that I've had my eye on for quite a spell. I aim to get it. That's what I want. A piece of land that belongs to just God and me. A piece of land that I can watch over, love, and sometimes hate. And above all, a piece of land that no man can take away from me. Why, shucks, Doc. Ain't that part of what I'm fighting for?
Yes, Luke, it is. And thank you very much, Private First Class Luke Streeter. Now, I would like to present the fourth and last guest star of the evening, Private Eric Svensson. Or is it a Private First Class Svensson?
No, sir, just Private. I've only been in 3 months.
I see. Where's your home, Eric?
Tacoma, Washington, Dr. Christian.
Would you tell us how old you are?
I'll be 21 next month.
Oh, then you enlisted too?
Yes, sir. You see, I knew they'd be taking me anyway when I became 21, so I thought I might as well enlist now and get as much out of it as I could.
Is that the only reason you joined up?
Oh, no, sir. I had other reasons. There's a line from the Declaration of Independence that keeps running through my mind. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I don't believe there was ever a time when those words meant more than they mean today.
And I can appreciate Corporal Winosaki's feelings. My name is Svensson. That's Scandinavian. Norwegian, to be exact. I think you can understand my feelings on that subject.
I can. I certainly can.
And if I can use Private First Class Streeter's words, shucks, Doc, it's a scrap, ain't it? And then I have another reason. I come from Washington. The Pacific Ocean is our front yard. And remember, Pearl Harbor is more than just a phrase with us.
What did you do before you enlisted, Eric?
I worked as a clerk in a grocery store and went to college at night.
And what of the future? Have you any plans?
Well, I'm not sure what I want to do when I come back, if I come back. But one thing I do know, I want to be free to choose my way of life.
Thank you very much, Private Eric Svensson. Ladies and gentlemen, please. All of us have heard here in this hall tonight just how many bullets and guns, and tanks and ships our war stamps and war bonds will buy. But I want to try and make you look beyond that. All of those things must be used by men like these four sitting on this stage tonight. And the more of them they have to fight with, the better is the chance they will come back to us. Baker, Winosaki, Streeter, Svensson. They come from all parts of the country, but they could have come from Riversand. All of us know boys just like them who have gone from here to join these four and their comrades. Baker, Winosaki, Streeter, Svensson. They are America. They are its future. We here tonight have a chance to take out an insurance policy on their safe return. A policy that also guarantees the future of our country. The premium on that policy? Why, it's only 10% of your earnings. 10% that'll come back to you with interest, in addition to ensuring our victory. I consider it the best investment in the world. Do you?
The big three are outside, Doctor.
What, again?
Shall I show them in?
Yes, show them in.
The doctor will see you now.
Well, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doctor.
Well, Doctor, you've done it again.
It was too marvelous.
People have been calling up all morning reporting a bigger bond rush than we thought this little town could produce.
Well, that's fine.
And we, the committee, are here to thank you for all you've done.
No, it wasn't what I did. It was the people themselves thinking the thing through.
Yes, but you're the one that started them thinking.
Bringing in those four soldiers was an inspiration. They are the stars of today.
Well, I'm glad it all worked out so well.
We think now we'll surely make our 100% enrollment and a 10% payroll savings plan. Why, our lumber plant is already signed up complete.
Oh, that's splendid.
Well, we'll be on our way and not take up any more of your time. Goodbye, Dr. Christian. And again, thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Doctor.
Bye. Oh, Judy, what are you so absorbed in?
Hmm? Oh, I was just figuring out a record sheet on which you could check off 10% of my pay. You know, you have to deduct the 10% for the payroll savings plan each payday. Then when there's enough for a bond, you're supposed to buy the bond for me.
Oh, now, Judy, you know bookkeeping is not my fault.
Saving is not your fault either.
Suppose you do the necessary for both of us. Keep the records, make the deductions, buy the bonds.
You mean you want me to deduct 10% of every bill we collect and set it aside for the purchase of war bonds?
Well, why not?
Boy, is this the day I've been waiting for. Dr. Christian, we'll have you solve and test. Although I don't know if it's right for me to do it. Under the 10% payroll savings plan, the boss is supposed to make the deductions.
Well, Judy, who else do you think you are around here?
And the curtain comes down on another Dr. Christian play. Our star, Gene Hirschold, will be here in a moment to greet you. Here's a tip for those who've turned from housework or white-collar jobs to work in a war plant. Until your hands get hardened to your rough new job, you're apt to find them becoming blistered, sore, or cracked. Then apply Vaseline Jelly, gentle, healing Vaseline Jelly. Here, indeed, is a great boon for the hands that turn the lathe, assemble the tanks, and build the planes. Vaseline Jelly does three important things for tender, sore hands. First, it soothes irritated skin. Second, it forms a protective film that helps keep infection out when the skin is broken. Third, it helps to promote healing. Make it a point to keep a jar of Vaseline Jelly in your locker for instant use whenever your hands get red and sore. Use it, too, whenever your hands get chapped. Vaseline Jelly is an excellent medicinal product for chapping, chafing, and other skin irritation. So for war-working hands and for chapped skin, remember Vaseline Jelly. It costs only 10 cents a generous jar. When you buy, look for the trademark Vaseline. It's your guarantee of absolute purity. And now, here is Gene Hirschold, the popular Dr. Christian of this series. Tell us something about next week's play, Dr. Christian.
Next week's prize play is written by Lenore K. Young of San Francisco, California. It is called The Child is the Future, and I know you're going to enjoy it. It will be broadcast next Wednesday at this same hour over these same stations. And until then, I'll say good night.
Servicemen and civilians alike appreciate this important fact about Vaseline Hair Tonic. With Vaseline Hair Tonic, a once-a-day grooming is all that's needed. Vaseline Hair Tonic gives your hair a live, natural look and keeps it neatly in place. For well-groomed hair that stays well-groomed, get Vaseline Hair Tonic tonight. Art Gilmore speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.